Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Thursday, April 28th. And I'm not making a normal broadcast as I normally would be preaching on the 20 characteristics for godly leadership this time. That's what I preached on yesterday, have been on this week. But because of the way things have gone today, I've not been able to make a broadcast, and I don't have time to make that broadcast now. So I'm going to have to put in just an archive, another message that I've preached in the past, but I hope it might be a blessing nonetheless. All right? And so I hope that this message will be a blessing unto you and bring glory and honor unto the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness, grace, and mercy in our life. Thank you for how that you've blessed us so abundantly. I thank you, Lord, for it. I ask you, Father, now that you might bless and help. I do thank you, by the way, for the service last night. Good service, good liberty in the house of God here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. Lord, for your moving in our midst as we felt your presence. And Lord, for the truth of the Word of God that you allowed to go forth. And Father, I thank you for our visitors. I thank you for those that were able to be here. I know we had a number that were out. Lord, I do pray for the Woodard family. Would you continue to touch and help Brother George and meet the need there? Others that were not able to be with us for one reason or another. Lord, I pray that you'd be with them and help them. Lord, I do pray that you would continue to help us tomorrow as we head down to the Paris parade and there representing WAJJ Radio. I thank you, Lord, for the beautiful shirts you allowed us to get and the good number of volunteers that we've got coming out to go with us. Father, I pray you'd bless all that and that you'd get glory and honor. Lord, I pray use the broadcast now. Let it be good seed that fall in good soil, that it might bring forth a good harvest to the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. We're looking today at Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." I want to underscore that phrase, "they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." That phrase is found again in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 11. The Bible says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." Now, friends, as Bible-believing Americans, we have all looked on the sorrow that our current moral revolution has plunged our nation into. We've come to new depths of socially acceptable depravity. We have learned to tolerate the intolerable. The secularization of our society is progressing at a breakneck speed. The cultural elites of our day are seeking to eradicate all and every vestige of Christianity from the public square. They want to remove any sight or sound of Christianity. Friend, we're living in perilous times. But such perilous times as these are not altogether unknown to the churches, just the modern American church. America has probably never looked so much like the empire in which Christ, our Savior, was born. It was decadent, it was violent, it was immoral, and it was idolatrous, much like our culture is today. In other words, America is looking more and more like the Roman world in which Christ started the early church. You see, the early church had little cultural claim upon Rome and its empire. It changed the world in its day, but not through political action. See, Rome was never genuinely Christianized. If there ever was any concerted effort to quote-unquote save America, it has failed. America is not saved. But the Bible never commanded the church to save nations. He told us to teach the nations. Amen. Try to rescue souls from within the nations. Matthew 28:19, our Lord said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." You see, we are informed that God intends to call people out of the nations, a people for his name, matter of fact. In Acts chapter number 15, verse number 14, he said, Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. You see, God's interested in getting people out of the nations. He's not interested so much in saving America or saving Britain. Oh no, he's interested in saving sinners in America and Britain and wheresoever that they are. Amen. Amen. We could never celebrate the moral degradation and degeneration that's come to pass in American culture. We are so saddened and sickened by it. As a matter of fact, we are discouraged and distressed over the degeneration of our nation and our culture. However, we must realize that as cultural Christianity falls out of vogue among American populace, biblical Christianity takes on a new relevance. Amen. It's no longer popular to be a Christian. It was popular to be a Christian at one time. It's no longer popular to be a Christian. No, friend, churches in America, and I could say Christianity in America, has never had a better opportunity to reclaim its identity as strangers and pilgrims, and to become the sort of countercultural light that is needed in this crooked and perverse nation. Amen. You see, the idea of God's people being strangers and pilgrims runs throughout the Scripture, beginning with Abraham. The terminology appears in the New Testament in these two places that I read to you and have chosen for our text. I'd like to look at these for a moment here again, thinking about the strangers and pilgrims, as they're mentioned in Hebrews 11:13, and then in 1 Peter 2 and 11. We are strangers and pilgrims. And in my message, I want to point out two particular things about this. First of all, I want you to notice the emphasis of strangers and pilgrims, and then I want you to notice the identification of strangers and pilgrims. Now, the emphasis, first of all. The word stranger emphasizes our distinction from the world. Amen. We're different from the world. A stranger's language is different. His style and dress is different. His tastes and traditions are unfamiliar. A stranger naturally gravitates toward a community of other strangers which share his peculiarities. Isn't that right? The word pilgrim emphasizes not our distinction, but our destination. Amen. We're strangers to this world, but we're pilgrims headed to another world. You see, a pilgrim is not where he started, and he has not yet arrived at where he's going. Amen. He longs to be home. Abraham, a good example of that. Abraham left his country, his kindred, and his father's house, qualifying him as a stranger. Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1, the first part of that verse reads this. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Abraham left his country and his kindred, qualifying him to be a stranger. In his trek towards that land that God would show him, he showed himself to be a pilgrim. The completion of our verse there, Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house, here's the last phrase, unto a land that I will show thee. So Abraham was a stranger from his father's house, and he was a pilgrim on his way to the land that God said he would show him. From heaven's perspective, we are much more than just displaced travelers. We are ambassadors. We're representing the great King of glory. We are dispatched on official business. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in God's stead be reconciled to God. We are ambassadors for God. We're pilgrims. We're not home yet. We're strangers. We're in a foreign country. But we're representing our King of glory. Some glad day, this royal errand will be clear for all to see. But presently, our sonship and our citizenship is a mystery to this world. So we must assume our place as strangers and pilgrims. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The world does not understand our sonship nor our citizenship, but we must embrace it. We must gladly stand forth as different from this world, not belonging to this present evil world. We belong to Christ. Therefore, we are pilgrims and strangers in this world. The emphasis of pilgrims and strangers is that we don't belong here. Now, let me remind you of the identification of strangers and pilgrims. Though the world does not understand or comprehend our citizenship, strangers and pilgrims can be identified by two distinct marks. First of all, strangers and pilgrims are usually identifiable in this world by their conversation. And that's what the Apostle Paul tackles. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verses 9 through 12. He says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy." Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. You see that phrase right there in our text. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Strangers and pilgrims are usually identifiable to this world by their conversation. You see, our conversation is to be characterized with two things: by abstinence from fleshly lust, according to verse number 11, and by engagement in good works, in verse number 12. You see, the avoidance of fleshly lust, the staying away from fleshly lust, will protect us from ruining our testimonies and forfeiting the power of God. Good works serve to show forth God's praises and silence the criticism of sinners. Consider the example of Daniel in the Old Testament. As a teenage boy, Daniel was carried 600 miles from his home. He was renamed, reeducated, and given the opportunity to defile his pilgrim conversation with the king's dainties. You know what he did? He abstained. He abstained from fleshly lusts because he was a stranger and a pilgrim. And then secondly, about Daniel, in whatever administration he served, he served in numbers of administrations because he lived a long life by the goodness of God. But in each of these administrations that he served, he took his God-given wisdom and used it to bless and to serve the idolatrous despots under whom he was held captive. 70 years after his captivity, he was still a stranger, being called by a Hebrew name, committed to his Hebrew Bible, and companioned or associated with the Hebrew people. Amen. Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 3. "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel." This is verse 5 that I'm reading. "Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Look at verse number 13. "Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. You see, Daniel was carried away captive as a boy, and yet he chose not to defile himself with the portion of meat which the king did eat. Daniel chose to stay true to his Hebrew name, his Hebrew God, and his Hebrew people. Daniel spent 4 times as long in Babylon as he ever did in Jerusalem, but he never made himself at home. in Babylon. Because Daniel retained the conversation of a stranger and a pilgrim, we find two world rulers glorifying God in the day of visitation. Daniel chapter number 2, verse number 47, the Bible said, "The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of lords and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret." This king saw God through Daniel. Again in Daniel chapter 4, verses 34 through 37, "And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase." Daniel showed God to the king by the fact that Daniel was a stranger and Daniel was a pilgrim. And Daniel, in his conversation, showed God. He abstained from evil and he engaged in what was right. Number two, the Lord not only identifies strangers by their conversation, but he identifies strangers and pilgrims by their confidence in his promises. Amen. We learned that from Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 16. And this is where part of our text came from. "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is to say, an heavenly. Therefore, or wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Amen. God promised Abraham an inheritance, and then marched Abraham through the land of promise for decades, reminding him that someday it would all belong to him. God's made us a promise. Listen, the days may seem long, this trek may seem hard, but God has made us a promise. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. You're a stranger and a pilgrim friend. You can believe God. God's made us a promise of an inheritance. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will." God has made us a promise of an inheritance. We can see it afar off, and we can experience it in part. But just like Abraham of old, we are trying to enjoy it in a tent that is surrounded by Canaanites. The Holy Spirit is crying out from within, always reminding us that this world is not our home. Daniel retained his pilgrim conversation and refused to relinquish his pilgrim confidence. After 70 years in Babylon, he still prayed three times a day, facing the land that he loved, begging God to return them to their homeland. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 13, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Friend, I'm just simply saying we're strangers and pilgrims. I'm running out of time. I recognize that. But I want you to know that America is still a great country to call home. But with every new headline, we see it being declared that America's moral and religious demise is reminding us that we're seeking a better country. Society is putrefying all around us, and that makes our salt even more savory. The encroaching darkness multiplies the impact and the need for our light. There is no spiritual guarantee that America will survive the coming of the Lord. We don't know it's going to stay till then. We don't know. But we can be certain of this, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against our Lord's church. Amen. Amen. You see, our objective in this pilgrimage is not a temporal or temporary political gain. Our job is not trying to get cultural leverage. Our purpose is the glory of God. We're strangers and pilgrims. We ought to be distinct from this world because we're destined for a city. We aren't supposed to fit in here. Like Daniel of old, we long to be home. Amen. If we can manage to keep our conversation honest among the Gentiles and our confidence fixed upon God's promises, then we can honor our King and we can influence some of the hopeless residents of this world with the light of the gospel. And we'll have more to go home to when our sojourn is over. And I say, even so, come, Lord Jesus.